evening, we've got baptism. Anybody here getting baptized next Sunday evening? Woo! On the back row. So next Sunday, we've got three people being baptized at the moment, but there's plenty of space for more. Put your hand up if you haven't been baptized. Haven't been baptized, put your hand up. Okay, so there's still an opportunity. Speak to one of the pastors before you go tonight. We'd love to have a conversation with you. And I don't know why Abby Winston didn't put her hand up. I saw that, sister. You're really, really fortunate tonight because you know what? Sometimes I ask the church as a whole to do lots of things, but you're really fortunate tonight because I'm just going to ask you to do something alongside me over the next couple of weeks that hopefully will have an impact for the gospel in our congregation. And so I want you to feel special tonight because there's not 350 people, there's about 50 of us. So I want you to feel special because you and I, over the next few weeks, never mind about the other 350 or 400, you and I are going to go on a journey together. Is that okay? Do you feel special? I always hear people say, well, I don't get to engage with the pastor that much. He doesn't come around to have coffee with me that much. Well, guys, we're going to go on a special journey together, okay? Just us 50. At last, some of you are saying, okay? So I want us to go on a journey together. But before we do that, I want to share something that's really been on my heart lately. And if you've been hearing anything I've been saying, you would have been hearing about how I'm really, really concerned that in our nation, there are people walking in darkness. And there's far too many people in our nation walking in darkness, and they need to see Jesus. And I've known that for years, but just these last couple of weeks, God's just broken my heart over it again. He's broken me to the core about how there's people in our world that are walking in darkness, and they need to hear Jesus. And I must admit, I've been really journeying with it. I've been kind of thinking, Lord, what am I doing as a pastor? I just want to get out there. Just want to be on the streets every day, telling people about the gospel. Because I love to tell people about the gospel. I know some of you might say, well, that's you, Scott, but that's not me. But all of us have a responsibility in some way, shape, or form to present the gospel of Jesus to people, don't we? We've got a responsibility. We can't just live in the knowledge of it for ourselves, but yet not do anything about it. And so what I want us to do tonight, I want us to think a bit about that together. But we're going to do a little bit of interaction. Are you up for a little bit of interaction? It's special again, you see? Interaction, okay? Now, I need someone to write on the boards. And so teachers are good at writing on the boards, aren't they, Mr. Conway? Are the teachers good at writing on the boards? Who says Mr. Conway should write on the board? Here, here? Here, here. Right, Mr. Conway, up you come. No, I haven't, but I've seen my wife's, and so it can't be as bad as hers. So make sure the paper doesn't go next to the candles. I've done that. I remember when I was a youth pastor, this little kid took the paper a little bit too close to the light of the candle, and it went, shoo. I got summoned to the senior pastor's office the next day. Right, so I'm going to ask you two questions, okay? And we're going to answer the first one, and Mr. Conway, sir, Mr. Conway, Stuart, teacher person, what's that? No, but we're not, no, oh yeah, okay, fine. Right, so the first question is, we're going to ask two questions, okay? And I'm going to ask you the first question, I'm going to write the answers down here, and then we're going to ask another question and write the answers on another piece of paper. Is that okay, sir? Thank you. First question is, what do you have planned for the next few weeks? What's on your schedule for the next few weeks, right? Shout them out, come on. Christmas, put Christmas down. What did you say? Shopping. Oh, I thought we were going to do a little. See, that's him just being creative, isn't it? Christmas and shopping. What else? Carols in the Close. Yeah, I'll be there. I hope. I'll be able to talk on Tuesday. come on, back row posse. Holiday. Sorry? Holiday. Are you getting one? That's great. Bless you. So is Jonathan. If those are here this morning. So I am too, and so is Ricky at some point. And it can't keep going. Baptisms. Food. What sort of food? What's your favourite? Fellowship. Turkey. See, I'm not sure turkey's fellowship food, is it really? Beef Wellington's kind of fellowship food for me. Do you know what I mean? I had this debate in my house today. Angela wants lamb and the kids want turkey. And I'm like, I like beef Wellington. I like the sound of that. Okay, what else? Trout Wellington's quite nice as well. Okay. Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas, okay. What else? Party. Who's going to a party? Oh, great. I'm going to a party with you, aren't I? When are we going? Wednesday night, is it? I'm going out for a party on Wednesday. Like, pray for my soul. I'm going out with about 20 nurses from Little Havens Hospice and me. And as I left the other day, one of them said, I've never kissed a vicar before. I'm like, oh. I said, you don't want to. It's not that nice. So pray for me. Liz, would you look after me on Wednesday? And I'll look after you? Great. Okay, we've got a plan. Great. Okay, keep going. What was the question again? What do you have planned over the next few weeks? Concert. Da-da-da. Absolutely. Well, you could probably pull it off. Ricky? Staff night out. Yes. The staff are having a night out. Or what night are the staff having a night out? Wednesday. And am I going? No. Have they invited me? No. Did I tell them they could go at me? Yes. What else are you doing the next couple of weeks? What did you say? Carol's at the care home. I got you. Hey, don't you think Stuart's got a really strong Scottish accent when he preaches? Don't you think? We've got you. Carol's at the care home. We've got you. We care what you're saying. It's not that strong. What? What? You got breakfast? What with Ricky? All right. Yes, we're going to have a Scottish breakfast, aren't we? With sauces and black pudding and sliced salt and haggis. Yeah, but that's a secret. Because if Anjanette knows with the cholesterol in that, we're in big trouble. So if she asks, we're having low-fat croissants and porridge. All right. Right, come on, what else is happening in the next few weeks? Work. Presents. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you. What did you say? Work. Yeah, you still got work. Yeah. What else?
Christmas golf.
Christmas golf. Is that any different than normal golf?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Wearing a jumper and a hat? Oh, God. All right, love. Those behind him, just pray for him for the next worship song. Okay, great. Okay, good. Okay, so that's like lots of stuff that you want to do, yeah? What needs to be done in your life? Some might be the same, but some might. What needs to be done in your life the next few weeks? Got things you got to do? Work. Yeah, work. Work again. Eat. Cook. Yeah, poor. She's always cooking, aren't you, Pat? Sorry? Wrapping presents. Great, Mary. We look forward to receiving them. My name's Scott. Jonathan. Ricky. No. Ellie. Thank you. We look forward. Quality Streets. Why did you wrap Quality Streets? That's just a really insane thing to do because you know that they're quality, don't you? What's the point of wrapping Quality Streets? Every time somebody gives you a box of Quality Streets, you're like, wonder what it could be. Yeah, anyway. Pardon? Organise the family. Is that your job or our job? Together, yeah? Okay, great. What else needs to be done?
Oh.
Oh, okay, write letters, okay. Tax return? Ooh, hiss. Okay, what else needs to be done? Come on, maybe three or four more things. Shopping, we had that, but shopping needs to be done, yeah? Baking? What? Praise Jesus. Absolutely, praise Jesus, whatever with that. Responding to people, yeah? You've got to respond to people at this time of the year. You've got to be love, joy, peace, happiness, and all that jazz. Okay, anything else? A couple more. Claudia, anything? You've got any wisdom tonight, sister? Cleaning? Yeah, 28 Highfield Crescent. Thank you. SS68JP. Thank you very much. anybody else want any cleaning done? Put your hand up. Oh, yeah. Sorry? Packing. Where are you going? Where do you go to America? What? It doesn't matter if it's family or pleasure, it's not America, is it? Africa, America, and thanks for popping in. Appreciate you. Great. Two more things. What else do you need to get done? Services, Advent services. There's lots of them, isn't there? There is where we stand, but what else have we got to do? One more thing. Ricky? Yeah, planning for next year. Tomorrow morning, the ministers are all going out to, somewhere. to do some planning for next year. I once saw that at my church once, and then suddenly we went to this coffee shop, and we saw about seven ladies in our church all around the table. I said, what are you doing here? Oh, we're just having a cup of tea. Yeah, right. They wanted to hear what was going on. Great, okay, so the first question was what, Stu? Do you remember, sir?
What do you need to know?
Oh, what sort of teacher are you? What needs to, what was it? what plans do you have? Okay, presents, golf, baptisms, happy Christmas, fellowship, work, shopping, singing carols in the care home, in the close, holidays for some, parties, breakfast at the manse. Some things just don't need to happen, do they? Right. What else needs to be done? Working, baking, cleaning, shopping, responding to people, organizing, wrapping presents, family. There's so much that needs to be done. Praise Jesus as well. But I want to I want to ask you, thank you, sir. No detention, you did a great job. Do you know what? All of that stuff is great, but how much of an internal impact does that have on our world? Now, don't call me a bar humbug, bar humbug, bar humbug, because I'm not. And I want to eat nice food, and I want to enjoy presents, and to be honest, I'm not terribly fussed about presents, actually, so that's not true. But I want to have a nice family, I want to have some time with my family. Christmas tree's going up this evening, I think I've missed it, but never mind, I'll see it later. But there's lots of stuff going on, but how much of what we just put down there has an internal consequence? And I don't want you to think, oh, you know, Scott, don't make us feel guilty. I don't want to make you feel guilty, but I want you to think just for a few moments' time. what is Advent really all about? And what has it become? What has it become and what it's really all about? Now, loads of you will know that for many years I lived in South America, and I love that Christmas in South America comes at 9 o'clock on the 24th, and it finishes about 12 o'clock on the 25th. That's it. Get paid on the 24th, go out, buy some gifts for some people, go to the big market in the Plaza de Armas, the grandfather will buy the nativity, all the rest of the family will buy all the little pieces to put in the nativity, they all get into a home at 7 o'clock at night, excuse me, and they all stake in turns, put loads of things into the nativity set. As the clock strikes 12 o'clock, they put the baby Jesus in, they have a meal, and they wake up the next morning and it's done. But one thing I love about that is that they do that to celebrate Christmas. But starting on the first of Advent, all the way through Advent, like no other time during the year, people with faith, some faith, no faith at all, suddenly become generous and give gifts. So they go to communities and they do chocolatadas, which is hot chocolate with a bun and a toy. And everybody does that, people of faith and people with no faith at all. And that's what Advent means to the people of Peru. Doesn't matter if you've got loads of money or no money, there's still people who have no money find something to give to somebody. And actually, the whole thing about Advent is about giving to the people who are less fortunate about yourself. And actually, when they get to the whole Christmas thing, it's just a little part of what it's really all about. Now, again, don't call me a bar humbug, because I'm not. But you know what? It grieves my heart that there's people in my family and my friends that if Jesus returned today, I may never, ever see them ever again. And that was really impacted to me, that something I was involved in this week just again just brought that realization so close to my heart. That those people who don't know Jesus, who don't come to a living faith in Jesus, have salvation in Jesus. The reality is that we, if they die today, and for those of us who are in the kingdom of God today, we may never see, well, we won't see them again. I'm sorry if that offends some of you tonight, but that's what the Word of God says. And so I grapple really, and I want to sort of grapple with you tonight. I'm not saying that all these things are wrong. Maybe the tax return. No, that's important, isn't it? But I'm not saying all these things are wrong. But what I'm saying is, what have we made it? Or what have we allowed people to make it for us rather than what it should really be? And actually, I must admit, we had this discussion just a few days ago, and every single Christmas, for the last four Christmases, and we've been back in England 4 years in a couple of days' time, my children will always say, not because they're saints, but they'll always say, you know what, we'd prefer to be somewhere else this Christmas, to do something more meaningful this Christmas. So you see, baby Jesus came at Christmas. Well, not, he didn't really, but he let's say he did. He was born in a stable at Christmas time. Wasn't born in a palace, but was born in a stable. And then Jesus Christ, who was born in the stable, grew up to be a boy. And after being a boy, he grew up to be a man. And as he was a man, he went around his business showing people all about the kingdom of God. And so much so that this baby who was born in a manger, who grew up to be a man, he showed him what life is really all about. When his own father said to him, you know what you need to do. You need to go to the cross. Even though Jesus said, Father, if you can, would you take this away from me? But knowing that he couldn't, he went to the cross and he died a gruesome death. There was nothing nice about it. But on that moment, the curtain was torn in two and the new covenant started. And a new relationship in that moment started for each and every one of us here tonight who claim to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So baby Jesus grew up to be a man. And then baby Jesus, when he was a man, went to the cross. And after he'd gone to the cross to reveal himself to the people about who he really was, then his father said, well done, good and faithful son. Come back and be with me in my presence. And after that had happened, he went back to be with the Father. But you and I know that that isn't the end of the story. But you see, Advent is about waiting. And Advent is about, in one sense, preparing ourselves for the coming again of Jesus. But also Advent is about, different people say different things, but I want to say that tonight Advent is about understanding that the second coming is going to happen again. Jesus is coming back again. Amen. He is coming back. And the thing is, you see, if we knew when it was, if we knew the day and the time, we could even put a reminder in our cell phone and it will just give us a little 10-minute warning and we can make sure that we're just all right with everybody. And in that 10 minutes, we could ask him to give us 10 hours or maybe 10 days. Just give us a bit of warning and then maybe we might have to do something quite drastic. A few weeks ago, we sent this round to a group of people that we're walking alongside at the moment in church. And Anset and I said, if we knew Jesus was coming back tomorrow, how would we act? And if we knew that Jesus was coming back tomorrow, would we live differently today? And the reality is actually, if we knew that Jesus was coming back tomorrow, we would live differently and we would act differently. Not to say that these things wouldn't be important, but they wouldn't be as important, would they? They wouldn't be as important. If Jesus was coming back tomorrow, how would I live today? I wouldn't be sitting in front of you first. I wouldn't be in front of you at all. I'd be in front of people that don't know Jesus, because most of you in this room know Jesus, if not all of you. You see, we know, because we've read it, that Jesus is coming back again. And I was on the phone to Gavin Calver this week, because I'm going to be involved with some stuff with the EA next year. And he said, you know what, Scott? He said, the problem is, at Christmas time, more people in our nation will come into our churches. But so often, we just tell them the story about baby Jesus, and we don't tell them the story about the salvation he brings. We tell them the story about baby Jesus, but we don't have the courage to tell them the salvation in which he will bring. And actually, in the next couple of weeks, thousands upon thousands of people will go to church. Some will go because the wine's nice. Probably not here, maybe the Anglicans. Some will go because they love to see their grandchildren dressed up as a shepherd. Some will go because it's just the right thing to do. Some will go because it just feels cozy, it just feels nice, it just feels right. But the reality is that many people will come. If they are invited, they will come to church and to churches around our nation. And they don't tend to come at any other time. See, the second coming is going to happen. We're 100% guaranteed it's going to happen. We don't know the time, we don't know the day, but we can be 100% sure that it's going to happen. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 to 13 says, "Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Jesus is coming back. And because he's coming back, don't misunderstand me, we should do some of these things. But if Jesus is coming back, how much do we care about the souls of those that we know and love that don't know Jesus? It might not break your heart. It should. Can't make it. But it breaks my heart for people that I do not even know that Jesus came back today and they didn't acknowledge him as Savior and Lord and rejected him, they would have no place in his eternal kingdom forever. Jonathan said this morning, didn't he? John 3:16, that God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus. Revelation chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All. I know people and you know people that say, "Well, that's not true of me." Because they're deceived. They're misleading. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Mankind and womankind, all of us fall short of the glory of God and have sinned. And it's only God's redeeming love that can bring us into a place of receiving him as Lord and Savior and having salvation in him and being in a place of eternity with him. The world may not want to confess the fact or even acknowledge the fact that all have sinned and fallen short of glory of God, but you and I surely must take notice. Jesus is coming back, and not just in our nation, but in many nations of the world. There are many people today who are sinners, who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it's our responsibility to tell them somehow. It's not the easiest conversation to have, but it's the most important conversation that we need to have with people. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God will be raised from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified." People need to believe in their heart and they need to be saved. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10, "For it's by grace you've been saved through faith." You see the dilemma we've got? Or maybe see the dilemma I've got. And maybe not you, but I have. That I'm not satisfied anymore with enjoying all the pleasures of Advent for myself when there's people, even my own family and friends, that are walking in darkness and need to see a great light. And even if we don't give it a go, are we really saying that God does not have the power and authority to change people's lives? He does. And actually, the reality, he doesn't really need us for that much. But he needs us to make the first move often. See, I've found lately, the more intentional I've been, the more conversations I've had with people, the more discontented they are with everything else the world has to offer. And actually, they don't mind talking about Jesus. I don't often mention the word church because I think in our culture and our nation, church has the wrong understanding. But when I talk to them about Jesus, talk to them about the faith that he brings, talk about the love, the joy, and the peace that he gives, talks about that in the instability of life and in the ups and downs, the joys and the sorrows, that he doesn't take it all away, but he sustains you through it. There are very few people that stop and say, nonsense. There's quite a few people that will say, well, would you just talk to me for a little while? Billy Graham once said this, For the believer, there is hope beyond the grave, because Jesus Christ has opened the door to heaven for us by his death and his resurrection. See, there's hope for our nation. Excuse me. There's hope for your neighbor. There's hope for your son or your daughter. There's hope for your mum or your dad or your auntie and your uncle. There's hope for that person who the world have rejected fully. There's hope for that person that the world has said, you know what, you've been so bad, we're going to choose to put you behind some walls for a long time. There is still hope for that person too. And we've heard it from Gavin Galva, hope has a name. Excuse me. And his name is Jesus. Now, I don't want to put a damper on Christmas, because Christmas is fun and it is exciting. For those of us in ministry, we are sometimes grateful when it's done. But it's a wonderful opportunity that we get to speak until it's done so much more openly about Jesus. I want you to think just for a few moments. Just for a few moments, think about the people that you know today that if Jesus returned tonight, you'd never see again. Think about the people that you know that if Jesus returned tonight, you'd never see again. And don't start to say, well, God's a God of love and they might still get an opportunity to squeeze in by the back door. No. Think about the people that you know and you love and you deeply care about that if Jesus returned tonight, you'd never see again. And I don't want you to answer, but how does that make you feel inside? Does it break you? Does it grieve you? Does it make you want to weep? Does it make you want to do something? Does it make you want to speak truth even though you might be rejected? Or do you simply say, and I don't think there'll be a single one of us tonight that simply says, it's fine, because I'm all boxed off. I don't think human character, I don't think Christian character, if we're really fully a disciple of Jesus, I don't think we could even respond in that way, because I don't think God would allow us to, because God has more of a broken heart for those who are lost than we do. Just these last few days, Anjanette has been reading a book about Advent, and she's given it to her nurse who's on a journey of faith. And her nurse rings her up every day and says, about quite early before Anjanette rises, but I'm up. And she says, Anjanette, have you read it yet for today? Have you read the story? It's great, isn't it? And I'm just like, oh, I'll talk to you when I get into work. You know, and she's so excited because this Advent story is coming alive to her, probably more profoundly for the first time ever. And one thing I was really struck by is that she's got a brother in another country. And she's got a couple of friends. And even though she hasn't fully got it for herself yet, well, I think she has, but she doesn't realize, she's photocopying it, and she's scanning it, and she's sending it across the world for people in her family to read so that they can also understand it. And she's photocopying it in the surgery, and I'm sure that's okay to do, isn't it? And she's taking it and giving it to other people that she's known for years in the place that she lives, and said, you've got to read it. And when I heard her passionately describing that, as I reflected myself on Advent, I kind of thought, well, that showed you up, Williamson, didn't it? And I didn't take any pleasure in that. And a great book that David Kerrigan has written, the ex-general secretary of BMS, all about the poor and the poor and the poverty in the world in Advent, which I'm reading. And again, just the inspiration, the people that in that book inspire me, that I've always been consistent and faithful, not just in Advent, but in every season of the year, to understand that Jesus came to be the Son of God as a baby, grew up to be a man, died on a cross, and is coming again to redeem the world. And out of that conviction, share the gospel at every opportunity that they have. You know what? We've got an opportunity. That's why we changed our services. We've got an opportunity to think differently this Advent. We've got an opportunity to be courageous this Advent. We've got an opportunity to speak to people this Advent and actually talk to them about Jesus and invite them to our life groups, our church, even our homes. We're having some people over in our close for coffee and mince pies. I've worked out a great recipe. I've been working on it for weeks. I'm looking at Brigitte. She likes a good recipe. I think I've just mastered it. Chocolate pastry with mincemeat inside with a nice bit of Cointreau and orange jelly. The staff said, keep sending us the samples so we'll tell you if it's nice. But I've just about mastered it. Give me another day off. When is it? Friday. And I think I've just about got it. And we'll invite the man to have some. But I have got an advantage over you. Because you know in our society, it's like, hi, my name's Scott. What's your name, Richard? What's the next question we ask? What do you do? I usually say I'm a vicar, because I say I'm a pastor. They went, what is that? So I do understand that I've got an opportunity that God has given me, because I have to say who I am. But unfortunately, I think the advantage that you have over me is you're more present in the world than I am. That's another story that I'm really struggling with right now, but now's not the time to share my soul. Do you know what? I had this revelation, and I hope that tonight, you may not have the same revelation, but I hope tonight that you will understand a little bit of where my heart comes from tonight. Because, excuse me, if I'm honest, Advent in the past has all been about me. It has. It's been about what I want to do in Advent. And what I want to celebrate, and who I want to see, and what I want to cook, and it's all been about me. You see, I found that really challenging this year, and I'm not asking you to find it challenging either, I'm just asking you to consider it and pray and think. Because for me, for so often, in the last 4 years more specifically, Advent has been all about me. The list that I've been writing about the things that I need to do and the things that I need to sort out and the people that I need to speak to and the new creations that I need to cook, and it's all been about me or I, and it's all been about me. But it's not about me. See, my birthday, which is on the 16th of May, just in case you didn't know, I've got a new calendar in my year for next year about all the stuff in the church. I don't know who put it in there, but it's got all the staff birthdays on it. Nothing else, but all the staff birthdays. See, on the 16th of May, that's my birthday. And in my home, that's when we celebrate our birthdays. Because on Christmas Day, it's not my birthday. It's good for the world to be a bit quieter. It's good for the mobile phone to stop ringing for a few hours. But it's not about me. It's about Jesus. And if it really is about Jesus, and it's not about me or it's not about you, I just simply want to put out a suggestion to you. That if it's not about me and it's not about you, but it's about Jesus, how will your world be different this Advent? Will it be different? Will it change? Because one thing I am assured of, and one thing I say confidently, is that God wants people to be saved more than we do. And I understand that some of it might be a bit harder than others. But I just want to ask you to do three things. First thing is this. I want you to think of those people that are close to you in this vicinity that don't know Jesus. If you're going to see them over Christmas, I'm going to the Holy Land on Boxing Day, Scotland. Would you identify a few of them? And would you pray? Just pray for them. Just pray for them by name. Every day. If you're going to forget, put them on Facebook. Because people always look at it. Or put them on a reminder. Do something. But think of maybe, let's just say three people. Pray for them. We've got two more weeks of Advent. Pray for them. Secondly, ask God to give you courage, boldness, wisdom and sensitivity to speak to them about Jesus. You may not get them into church this Christmas, but speak to them about Jesus. I'm going to do that with my dad this year. I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to say, Father, it's taken me 20 years to get up to Scotland. I've never been to my parents' house for 20 years since I've been in ministry for Christmas. So the first thing I'm going to say is, it took me 20 years to get here, Dad. And the reason I've come is, I've not come for your super duper turkey curry, but I've come to tell you that, you know what? Jesus needs to save you. And you know what he'll say? He'll say, I can't repeat what I said. I might not be drinking a single malt family whiskey. I might just be on Ribena. But I'm going to tell him it. What have I got to lose? What I've got to lose, if I don't do it and don't continue to do it, what I've got to lose is much. I've got to lose what I saw with my very own eyes this week. That when people don't know Jesus and they die, we may never see them again. I've got lots to lose. I've got lots to lose. I've got nothing to lose in that statement. And even better, if I get Jess and Sam to say it, it'll probably go down a lot nicer. So pray for that person. Ask for God to give you the courage and the boldness to tell them about Jesus. And thirdly, if you can bring them along to something, or even, you don't need to bring them here. Take them to your home. Invite them in for a glass of sherry. Do we still drink sherry? Do we still drink sherry, ladies? No, we don't. Even you don't drink sherry, so that means we must not drink sherry. Oh, you do? Okay. But invite them in for a bit of sherry or Baileys or a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. But invite them in. And if none of that works this year, don't be discouraged. But you can stand before God and say, God, you know what? I understand Revelation. I understand Romans. I understand the lostness of the world. But Lord, at least I've given it a go. Rather, And Gavin Calver says this in our coffee meeting over the phone the other day. He was having a coffee and I was having a coffee. He said, the reality is, loads of people in church this Christmas, when people do come and from the front they don't hear about salvation, they only hear about baby Jesus. Because we don't want to offend people and don't want them to feel uncomfortable, he says, they're already feeling uncomfortable, so we might as well use the opportunity. You've met him. He said, let's tell them. Because we've got nothing to lose. Because, he says this, because we have a responsibility to please Jesus. And Jesus will never be displeased with us if we do that. So all I'm saying is this. Would you give it a go? There's people in our community tonight. I can think of my neighbour and my friends. And even the people in my street that I don't even know. You know what? Because I know how much God loves them. Even though I don't know them, I still want them to be in his kingdom. And to that, I've been focused on the people that we do know. But as Jonathan said this morning, God came not just for the Son, but he came for all. And now I'm not saying that this isn't going to be fun. Please, have some fun. Stay here for Christmas Day, gorgeous lady. But do all of this. But don't be deceived that it's the only thing you have to do this Christmas. And let us not be surprised when Jesus does something. I said to you, I'm going to finish with this story, and then we're going to worship a couple of songs together. I was with some friends the other day at the rugby club with my son plays, and I felt a bit of a sinner even going to watch him on a Sunday. But you know what? I soon got over it because it was just great for my relationship with him and great for my heart to be with lost people. And I was with them all last Sunday morning, just in the morning, and having a chat with them and just laughing about them. And there was so much openness about faith. And today they all went to watch Saracens play, which is a team that I support, if you hadn't worked that out. And they, to say that they beat Cardiff this afternoon would be an understatement. They stonked them. They just slaughtered them. And it's really funny, because I wasn't even present today. And after the kids went on the pitch and they did a bit of running, and Sammy wasn't able to go, unfortunately, but there'll be another chance. And and they all got on the bus. And you can see all the texts that they were all, there's about 50 WhatsApp. Is it WhatsApp or WhatsApp? WhatsApp, 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 WhatsApp. And all these messages, and I'm thinking, I just can't be bothered to look for all these messages. And then I see one message, I thought, well, that's interesting. Because one of the coaches said this, they said, you know what? Saracens must have won today because Scott, who was with us last week, is a man of faith. And they won because it's his team. Now, that's a load of nonsense, isn't it? Let's be honest. It is nonsense, isn't it? Utter nonsense, but we're grateful it happened, but it's nonsense. And I didn't do anything, but just by a conversation with them last week, introducing myself and saying I'm a vicar, they all knew that because they want me to change the kids' water at the pitch into wine. I can't do that, can I? Well, I do. But I didn't respond at all. And I kid you not, if I was to get my phone out, wherever it is over there, and show you the theological, biblical discussions that they've been having for the last hour and a half, it would just make you smile. And I'm not even there. I feel like saying, well, where are you meeting tonight? And I'll come along and tell you the truth. And I'm not saying I'm a saint, because I'm not. But interesting, isn't it? It didn't take much. Now, the problem is when they get slaughtered, there's God in that. It'll still be in it. And then I'll respond. But I haven't even responded yet. You see, God, in the little that we offer, is faithful. Now, will I get them all saved? I tell you what, you want to give me the challenge, I'll take it. Probably need Sunday mornings off as well, but I'm sure I won't get that. But I'm up for the challenge. Because look at the little that I've done. God doesn't want you to do the masterpiece or the banquet. He'll do that. You'll be able to celebrate at it when that person comes to faith. But he might just want you to just place the knife down, or the fork, or the plate, or the glass. And because of that, that person will become closer to Jesus and hopefully have salvation in Jesus. And you can be at the banquet when they come to faith in Jesus. It's really hard to eat spaghetti with just a knife. You need a fork. And we've all got to play our little bits we've all got to play our little parts. So nothing is ever wasted in the kingdom of God. I pray that God will give us all courage, and I'm going to pray that now, and then we're going to sing a song. Because I've gone on a bit long tonight, haven't I? Mary Brown said it's all right. Let's pray. I sense that in my spirit. Let's pray. Can you stand? Can we stand up while we pray? I'm finishing, so smile. Jessica's got a big smile on her face. Look how happy she is. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Advent. And we do thank you for the joy of everything. But Lord, I pray, simple prayer is this, that you will just, as we leave this place tonight and the conversations that we'll have with each other or just with you, Father, just drop into our minds and drop into our hearts and drop into our souls the responsibility that you want to give us tonight. Into our minds and our hearts and our souls, and give us the courage and the wisdom and the strength. Help us to be obedient, but help us this Advent speak. Help us to speak about Jesus. Lord, help us to speak about the great light who is Jesus. Help us to do that, Father. Because, Lord, that is the only thing that has the power to save and transform people's lives. Amen.
We can sing a song that speaks about Jesus as the good shepherd going and finding the one and leaving the 99. We're going to sing Reckless Love.